Life is full of personal wins. I'm still waiting for mine. Whether it's cleaning your house or getting that dream car, winning at life is a great feeling. And with the State Farm Personal Price Plan, you can keep winning when you create an affordable price just for you by bundling your home and auto. Chrissy, you're always on top of all of this.
Well, I am very deficient in some areas, but this is not one of them. I also love how personal State Farm is. I love my State Farm agent, Mike. Shout out to Mike. And guess what? Today, you guys can talk to a State Farm agent to learn how to bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, wait for it, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount on discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Stephanie J. Block.
And I'm Mary Lee Fairbanks.
And we host Stages Podcast.
Binge close to 100 episodes. Hear the inside stories from backstage and behind the scenes as we go beyond the resume and into the heart of creativity and what it really takes to be in the business of show business.
Don't miss our chats with this season's Tony nominees. If you love theater and entertainment, you are going to love Stages Podcast.
Subscribe to Stages Podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts and visit us at stagespodcast.net.
I interviewed O.J. Simpson. We're just sitting next to each other, like 4 feet apart. And he goes, "You think I did it?" And I go, "Did what?" I wanted him to say it. So I said, "Did what?" And he said, "Killed those two people." And I said, "Yes."
Calm Down with Aaron and Carissa is a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome to part two of our conversation with Dan Patrick
on the Big Show.
Hello. Because one episode with Dan Patrick is not enough. This guy's career is so good. We had to ask him more questions. And this one, are you ready for an incredible story about O.J. Simpson? We also go, I go to the Dan Patrick School of Interviewing. I mean, just 5 minutes with this guy.
How good was that?
I mean, maybe I'll actually get invited to the Sports Emmys this year. And how much longer he's going to keep doing this. Stay with us. Dan Patrick, part two, up next.
Hello.
On The Big Show. So, Dan, you are so skilled at so many things that you do. Aaron and I both interview people as well for a living. I want to know the art of the interview through the lens of Dan Patrick, because I'm constantly trying to figure out and learn and take advice, yield advice from people that I respect. What makes a good interviewer?
Be curious. Like, always be curious. Mm-hmm. It's not about you. There's nothing wrong with a question that makes it seem like you don't know the answer. If you say why. But we get caught up in, oh my God, they're going to think I don't know. So you're going to ask a question, answer the question, then ask the question. It's terrible.
Yes.
Just get to the question. Just ask the question. And because the less time I have you to be able to load up with an answer or maybe bullshit me, I'm doing a disservice to my audience. And I always think when I'm interviewing, my job is to be a conduit to the people who are listening or watching. It's my job to get them something that keeps them in their car. Or they go, oh, did you hear that interview? And if you're selfless, then you'll ask open-ended questions and be curious and always be ready with the follow-up. Athletes try not to tell us things, or coaches try not to tell us things. Your job is, they're going to tell you something. You just have to listen for it. And then when you follow up, that's when you get gold. I remember when Scottie Pippen was being interviewed by all these people, and he had something to say about Michael Jordan and LeBron, and everybody was, oh my God, did you hear what Scottie had to say? Well, in the same conversation, he talked about race played a role in Phil wanting Scottie to not take the last shot. Tony Kukoc was going to take the last shot in the game. And Scottie sat down. And I said, oh my God, that's the quote. He basically called Phil Jackson a racist. And I said to Fritzy, my booker, I said, see if you can get Scottie on. And he was promoting his whiskey or bourbon or something, tequila maybe. And I asked him, I said, what are you saying about Phil? And he said, no, he basically was saying he's a racist. And I just thought, nobody's listening. Like, they're listening for what gets clicks, and gets clicks is when you talk about Michael Jordan and LeBron James, not Phil Jackson. And I just remember, it was like, it hit me that, are we really listening? Or are we only listening for what works in today's social media climate? And I don't do social media. I'm not on social media. I'm not interested in social media. I'm aware of it. If I make a mistake, somebody points that out. But other than that, I don't need it as a, you know, reassurance. But I think, you know, how we ask questions, who's asking questions. And I think journalism is sort of in small letters now. I don't think it's capital letters. And that's where I think we get into trouble sometimes. Hot takes, that's really important. But when you sit down and you ask questions, ask the question and don't be afraid, because this isn't about that guy being your buddy or, you know, that woman being your buddy. Your job is still to get that answer to your audience. And if you always believe in that and stay true to that, you can't go wrong. But make it about the subject, not about you and your questions.
I love that. Now I'm rethinking everything I want to ask my person this week. I'm like, shit, what's happening?
Well, I not to tell you how to do your job, but I would like to know, like, what makes you want to be part of the media? Like, what part of the media do you enjoy? Because he is good.
Yeah.
He's good on his podcast. Mm-hmm. And he's got things to say. And he's young. And I'm just curious, that new wave of athlete. So, you know, we got the NIL guys, and then we got, you know, these guys who have a podcast. And what do you say? And can you say it? And are you saying it on here, but you won't say it to the media when you do a press conference? Like, those are things that I find really fascinating, because today's athlete is far ahead of the game in a lot of ways, but really naive in a lot of ways, too.
You've done everything. Wow. Covered World Series, NBA Finals, Olympics, your time at ESPN, your time at NBC, and your own show. Is there something you would go back and do differently, or are you appreciative of the path that you've been
now,
on?
Now, see, I would have critiqued you right there.
Tell me.
What would you have done differently?
What would you have done differently?
You don't even add the end of it.
I love you.
Now, I do this to my wife and I do this to my kids.
No,
so once
it's
again,
so good. And it messes with the way you think. Dan, did you deal with John Swatsky at ESPN?
Yes.
He, in a great way, fucked my head up. Like, what, where, when, why, how? Do not ask two-part questions. Like, it screws my brain up, but it's great.
John Swatsky changed my career.
Wow. Wow.
John was in a magazine. There was an article and it was like the king of interviewing or king of the question. And I read it. And I said to John Walsh, who was running SportsCenter, I said, we have to get him here.
Yeah.
And so he got him here 5 days, 8 hours. And people were like,
fight him.
MFing me. Like, they were like, oh my God, why did you? And I said, oh my God, this is unbelievable.
It's
it was
amazing.
A treasure trove of things that could help you, tips, laying down breadcrumbs. Like, take them here. Where are you going? What's your end game? What's your first question? Now, we went toe-to-toe a lot of times because I said, you've never interviewed Mike Tyson. You've never interviewed Dennis Rodman. Your laws, your rules, your tips won't apply. And he goes, I beg to differ. And I go, I know, because I've done that. I have interviewed them. And there is no way to really go into that with his formula. But the other stuff was wonderful. Open-ended question. I'll sit around the table with my kids, my wife. And I used to go, how was your day? Good. And I go, okay. Tell me, what was the best part of your day? And so then they would give you an answer. And then after a while, they caught on and they go, you interviewing Dad? Or are you really?
I love it, though. I love it.
You have to get into
it. Goes back to your,
do it to your boyfriend. Yeah. Do it to your husband. Yeah. Just ask a question. They won't realize it. But when you say, hey, how you doing? Good. Hey, what was fun today? Or what was interesting today? Then you get conversation. And I always tell people, when you get married, you fall in love. But you stay married because you like that person. So find out if you like being around them by talking to them.
Chris, don't do this.
Oh, you have to do that.
Yeah, don't do it.
I don't want to screw up. You've gotten this far without me. I've helped you with other relationships.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, mate, get out of them. So wait. So, okay, let me ask the question in the Dan Patrick School of Interviewing. This is my test.
Okay.
So, Dan, you have covered World Series, NBA
Finals,
Olympics.
Don't even have to do that.
You don't have to do that. You're adding information that they know about.
Okay, I thought I was starting. I thought I had to start.
What's
your question?
Now I don't know. My question is, what would you do differently?
Okay.
That's it.
What would you do differently in your career?
What would you do differently in your career?
Nothing. I learned the right way. I mean, I got humiliated. I got kicked to the curb. I came back. I started something on my own. It's like, you know, when a supermodel gets wrinkles, like, that's life. You know, you've been smiling. It's okay. And I didn't call myself a supermodel, by the way. I'm just saying that it's not perfect. And I tried to be perfect when I started this. Every sports center I did, every single one, I'd get done, I'd grab the tape, I'd go upstairs, and I would watch the entire sports center because I was looking for things that I did wrong. And I thought, what am I, like, so you're, I'd make a mistake on camera and I'd be thinking about it through the whole show. And I don't know if you guys have gone through that where you make a mistake pregame or something and you're going, God damn it. It's just there. But I was looking for everything that was wrong. How'd the tie look? How'd my hair look? How did I sound? And it was just, I was driving myself crazy because I couldn't just go out there and go, I made a mistake. I can deal with it. And it took a long time to do that. And, you know, Keith Olbermann helped immensely because he's like, DP, fuck it, move on. And then he's right. But in the moment, you're like, God, I want to be perfect.
Yep.
You know, that's probably why I got to where I am. But it also can really, you know, take its toll on you because you want to be great all the time. You know, the motto is every day is the Super Bowl. And if you don't have that approach, then you're going to fall on your face sometimes because you weren't prepared. And it goes back to that first day in radio when I didn't know how to pronounce the Ayatollah's name. And I never forgot that feeling of being humiliated. And so it's always there, you know, 40 years later.
I'm emotional because I am. I'm like sitting here crying because a lot of this is relatable. But also, I was telling Carissa, one question I wanted to ask you was, I feel like in this whole thing has been like just like a relay race, right? Like you just go as fast as you can because you want to keep up and you want to keep reinventing yourself. You want to stay relevant, but you don't take the time to enjoy it. Guys, everyone loves a win, even if it's small. I had two big ones. I mean, congratulations to me. Let's celebrate. Finally cleaned out the fridge and the garage with all the nasty crap in the drawer from last Christmas, maybe even Thanksgiving. And I'm getting somewhere on my closet. Purging, organizing, what about you?
My big wins have to do with the cute little animals up at the ranch. Simba, who's my rescue, graduated. He doesn't have to stay in the crate overnight. He can hang out with the big boys at night. And also my sweet little baby chicks are thriving. So no matter if your win is big or small, it's still a win. And it calls for a celebration. And who's cheering right beside you? Say it with me, Aaron.
State Farm.
The State Farm Personal Price Plan helps you create an affordable price just for you. So talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is so special that we have you in our lives. We have you, somebody we looked up to, we wanted to be like, we wanted to work with, and we have you as a friend. And just to hear you tell these stories that, you know, are so passionate and things that we are so interested in. I don't know. It's emotional.
I never celebrated. I never celebrated.
I know.
I never stopped. And my wife goes, celebrate the victories. I go, hun, I need big victories.
So hard.
Like, hey, you know, you're going to win an award. And she would say, no. Like, did you have a good show? I say, well, I don't know. Yeah, I guess. And she goes, but you got to celebrate it. And I, and she was so right, as she always is. And I just missed out on that. So I would say to you guys, man, the small things. And, you know, having a baby, just those small things, those are things you should be doing in your career, noticing the small things. It's like when your baby does something small and you go, God, did you see that? Yeah. That was awesome. Well, what'd she do? She ate an avocado. Oh, my God. Like, have fun and remember it. Because you chase constantly. Yep. I did. I kept thinking, well, next job or next paycheck or next raise or next. And I never, ever stopped. It's okay to look, open the scrapbook and just go, God, that was fun.
Okay.
And the people and the memories.
So let's do this as I apply my, do you have a few more minutes for us? Cause I know we're already,
I have life for you.
I love you. Thank you. I know.
God, what are you doing to me right now?
She's a mother. She's emotional.
I guess I'm a mother too.
I'm a mother too.
The best part is, Dan, you're one of the funniest people we know, and Aaron and don't cry ever. And here we are. Okay, so rapid fire, since somebody used my Dan Patrick school of question asking. Favorite interview?
I don't have one.
Least favorite interview?
Ooh. Tanya Harding was painful.
Why?
There you go, right there. Boom. God. That's what you do. Why? Well, I brought up Nancy Kerrigan. I'd never interviewed her, and she had found religion, and I wanted to know how her religion accepted what she did and how she was a part of Nancy Kerrigan and you know, her husband and all those things. And
so good.
She,
what a follow-up.
She goes, are we going to really talk about this? And I go, yes. And then all of a sudden I hear, hold on, Paul wants to talk to you. Well, I don't know who Paul is. Paul goes, Dan, we going down this road? And I go, who are you?
Jeff Galulli's brother?
I'm her agent and our PR person. And I go, look, I've never had, so they cut short the interview, but I just wanted to ask her about it. I interviewed O.J. Simpson. This was after the double murder. And
what was your first question?
I don't remember my first question because we were talking football. Okay. I made a terrible mistake. Iowa, I think, was playing USC in the Orange Bowl. And I thought, you know what, OJ, you know, he was found not guilty. He was still a wonderful football player. Maybe we talked to OJ Simpson. Well, he agrees. And we just talked football and USC and all those things. And we were changing tapes. So I did 30 minutes and then we stopped. And so, you know, that feels like forever when somebody's reloading their camera. And it's just him and we're just sitting next to each other, like 4 feet apart. And he goes, you think I did it? And I go, did what? And he said, killed.
And you knew what he meant.
Yes, but I wanted him to say it. So I said, Mark, did what? And he said, killed those two people. And I said, yes.
Time's up.
And then my cameraman goes, Okay,
and
we're okay. We're ready to roll.
Oh shit!
Yeah.
Yeah. So what happened?
Danny, he kept trying to tell me how he was not guilty. And he goes, you don't know how crazy my life is. Do you know that I was in Vegas and I walked by a room and they were shooting a porn and they wanted me, OJ, to be in the porn. And like, it was going in a direction where it wasn't going to make air. And I just let him talk. But he was trying to convince me because I just told him to his face, yes, I thought that he killed, you know, his wife.
Wow.
And Ron Goldman. Yeah. So that one was an interesting conversation. Lawrence Taylor, I thought, was going to beat me up.
Really?
Yeah. I'd ask him. He had been suspended for cocaine use, and he read a statement to the print media, and I was at training camp, and then he came out. They wouldn't let camera people in. And he came out, and he was walking to his car, and I was working at CNN at the time. And I said, would you read the statement on camera? And then he said, you need to get the real story. And I said, I have the full story. I talked to your agent. And then he walked away. And then I thought, oh, God. All right, here I go. And I went up to him again. I said, look, I need you to read that on camera. You know, that I wasn't able to be in there. They wouldn't allow cameras. And then he had the darkest sunglasses on ever. I could see the whites of his eyes through his sunglasses. And he's staring at me. And I go, oh my gosh. I felt like I was Ken O'Brien of the Jets. And he was coming after me, sack me. And
he's
then,
my neighbor. I'm not kidding. He's right down the street.
Ken O'Brien is?
Of course he is. Yeah, he's awesome.
He's a good guy. I felt
he's
bad.
Great.
He's one of the first guys I ever felt bad for. I saw fear in his eyes when Lawrence Taylor was chasing him during a game. And I go, that is fear right there. That
wow.
is fear. But he got into his, he had a dark blue Porsche and he peeled out. And Peter King was working, I think, for Newsday. He runs out. He goes, what did he say? And I told him the story. And I think Peter quoted me in Newsday that Lawrence Taylor basically told me to get fucked as he got in his car. I mean, these are the moments that people don't really care. Like when you're getting in the business, you don't think
they're amazing.
Well, yeah. No, that you don't want to have these moments. Like you don't have these moments. Come on, you know. And then you do where, you know, sometimes you're asking a tough question and, you know, I just try to be professional the best I can. Never try to be sensationalistic and I don't do gotcha. I don't do any of that stuff. But there are times when you go, God, this is going to hurt when I ask this question. Oh, but so you got to do it.
Was there an interview that you wanted, didn't think that you would get, and you got it?
Well, see, now I could say yes or no to that.
Right.
Who was a person that you wanted to interview? And you didn't think you could get it, but you got it.
I think Michael Jordan during the NBA Finals when he wasn't talking to the media. And then I got a chance to talk. I had a great relationship with him. I don't really know him, but he was very generous with me. And he knew that I could push him a little bit. And he was playful. I thought he was different when he was on SportsCenter after they would win those championships. And another interview I got that's really not headline worthy, but John Stockton never did interviews. Never. The NBA Finals, NBC would be, Jim Gray would be trying to get John Stockton to sit down. And I just remember saying to the PR, I was just trying to be funny. And I said, hey, love to have, John to sit down for an interview. And he goes, I'll ask. And I go, okay, just for shits and giggles. Comes back and he goes, John will do it. Where do you want to do it? And I go, what? So we sat down, did the interview. And I just remember NBC's like, hey, wait a minute. Why didn't he do an interview with us? And I go, I have no idea. I just ask. And I always say that. Don't be afraid to ask.
Cool.
If you can take no, which I happened through most of my high school and college career with women, like if you can take a no and keep coming back, then, you know, that's, you got to have that thick skin. You have to have calluses. And I just remember, you just ask. I had no problem asking. And if you got rejected, you're like, okay.
Guys, everyone loves a win, even if it's small. I had two big ones. I mean, congratulations to me. Let's celebrate. finally cleaned out the fridge in the garage with all the nasty crap in the drawer from last Christmas, maybe even Thanksgiving, and I'm getting somewhere on my closet. Purging, organizing. What about you?
My big wins have to do with the cute little animals up at the ranch. Simba, who's my rescue, graduated. He doesn't have to stay in the crate overnight. He can hang out with the big boys at night. And also my sweet little baby chicks are thriving. So no matter if your win is big or small, it's still a win. And it calls for a celebration. And who's cheering right beside you? Say it with me, Aaron.
State Farm.
The State Farm Personal Price Plan helps you create an affordable price just for you. So talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh, my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And, of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you think you could ask Michael Jordan to do Calm Down as well? Like, we could book him next week. That would be amazing.
No, I don't have that pipeline to him anymore. But I would still love to follow up with him. And I would love to talk business with him. His business acumen. And the fact that his mom played this important role. And what would have happened if he, you know, stayed with Adidas, didn't want to go to Nike. And I mean, you know, these small little decisions that somebody makes and you go, that's a $1 billion decision right there, if not more. A couple of billion dollars. And all it was we're going there and we're gonna talk to these people at Nike. And you know, you're just sometimes it takes that. It's just a small thing with a lot of these guys. And they're competitive too. I find this too in interviewing. You gotta be competitive with somebody competitive. Don't be afraid to let them know what you're talking about and go after them a little bit. Pat Riley famously shut me down one time. Don Shula shut me down one time because they didn't think I knew what I was talking about. And they could have been correct, but what I was asking was not, something really serious. You know, it wasn't Goodwill Hunting and I'm solving a problem on a chalkboard. But I asked Jack Ramsey, I said, give me a question I can ask Pat Riley, NBA Finals. Jack,
so good.
Jack was just a wonderful, wonderful man. You go, Dan.
Lakers or Miami? Who is he with?
He was with the Knicks.
Oh, sorry, Knicks.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, the Knicks. So he goes, Dan, this is what you ask him. And so he's got this elaborate thing. And I go over there. It's a group interview with Riley. And I asked the question. And he didn't even answer. He looked at me. And he didn't even answer it. And I walk back over and Jack goes, what did he say, Dan? I said, he didn't say anything. He goes, he knew you knew something. And I go, I just embarrassed myself in front of him. He goes, no, you didn't, Dan. You learned from me. Like, Hall of Famer, wonderful man. And he was trying to, I think he knew that Riley knew that Jack gave me the question to ask him, and he wasn't going to give up the answer to the reporters there. That's all right. You know, that's all right.
That's why Rodgers is so hard for me sometimes, because Andrew Luck was really hard. Chris, I know he was just on your Thursday night show, because they're smarter than you. And Rodgers knows what's coming. Luck knew. And I was like, damn it. Stop being so smart. Just listen.
Yeah, but I find they'll play, you know, kind of verbal tennis with you a little bit. Yeah. They'll help you do your job. I found Rodgers would be engaging. And when I talked to him after the draft, when they took Jordan Love, and I said, you know, why four fingers with your tequila? And he said there wasn't any more tequila. Like, he had that amount of tequila only because that's all the tequila that was left at the time. And, you know, so you're asking him about that process. And he allowed me to go into his home when I was asking the question. And that's all you want, is if you break through the barrier. Now, what do you do when you get in the house? Are we sitting in the living room, the kitchen? Are we going down to the man cave? Are we going to the bedroom? But I want to know where are we going? Is it going to be a fun, intimate conversation? Is it going to be sort of status quo? Like, I want to be in the kitchen with you. Yeah. Living room, nothing good happens in the living room. Now, except for the Christmas tree, and that's it. Yeah, Like, you know, whenever you go over and you were meeting a girl and you were going to take her to prom, you went in the living room. Like, it was always, and they'd have plastic on the furniture. Like, nothing good happens in the living room. But you get into the kitchen with an athlete or a coach or something, then it's like just sitting around. And it becomes a little bit more of a, let's chat. And that's another thing I always tell my students. Don't interview somebody. Have a conversation with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Because then it doesn't sound like an interrogation. Because if I ask you questions and I'm like, you know, peppering you, you're going to tense up a little bit. But if we're having a conversation, then I feel like, okay, let me hear your tone. And that kind of dictates, you can have a velvet hammer. That's the way I view it, is, hey, it may hurt, but it's not going to hurt as much, or it's going to look better than a hammer coming at you. It'll be a velvet hammer. But ask that question and get that conversation going. Because when you do, that's when they forget they're being interviewed. And it's hard to do that. Really hard. But when you do, then you got magic. And that's all you want. You want that soundbite. And I always respected when you had to ask two questions, you got your two questions on the sidelines, I'd be like, God love you, man. God love you. Because I couldn't do
so
it.
So hard.
I could. What are you going to say to your team second half? Like,
I know.
You know, like, coach, what do you need to work on after that? Every goddamn thing is what I need to do. And you're like, wait a minute. Contractually, I get to ask you one more question. You know
what? I want to see you interview Mike McDaniel on the sideline at halftime.
Oh, my God. With two questions.
Is my dream is to see Dan Patrick interview Mike McDaniel at halftime. And then
I reached out. I had Fritzy reach out to Mike McDaniel 2 weeks ago, and I said, you know, hey, we'd love to have you on the show. And the message we got back was, I'd like to talk to Dan in the off season.
Huh.
That was it.
Because he wants to talk for a long time. I
love it. I love, you know, when everybody is a cookie cutter and it's like, oh, that's the coach speak. Nobody wants that. I want a guy who, like, is difficult, irascible. I mean, I don't want Belichick or Popovich per se, because that's not good for, you know, our jobs. But when you get somebody who wants to kind of push back at you a little bit, give you shit, like Jim Boeheim always wanted to, you know, push
the
back.
Best.
John Calipari wanted to give me shit.
Bo
Coach
Ryan
K.
was like best. That.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that's what you want, because they're, as I say to my daughter's boyfriends, if I like you, I'm going to give you shit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if I don't, then
I'm not,
you know,
saying anything.
Time to pack your bag. Like, you just have fun with somebody that you care about or you want to engage with. And I've been fortunate that you can kind of push back a little bit. I mean, Bob Knight became a friend.
I was going to say, isn't that the little statue
him.
Right in front of your microphone?
That is Lou Holtz at Arkansas.
Oh, the red sweater and the white shirt underneath. I thought it was Bob.
I have Bob Knight, a big doll back there, a big carving or something. People send me stuff all the time. I love it. I love it. I have this man. I don't know what I'm going to do when my career is over, because I have to take all this stuff home. And, you know, my wife loves that, you know,
so
there's
good.
No sports stuff at home. It's all
what
here.
When is the end of your career? When you want it
four
to
more
be?
Years.
Four more years. Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Good, Carissa. I think I'm learning.
That was great. I want to be able to do it at a certain level, hopefully maintain that level, and then you bow out. It's a young person's game. Trying to stay relevant, having the energy, the enthusiasm, having something new to tell people. You know, those are all challenges, but it's every day where you think about that. What I mean, there are shows that I went to see One Direction. I would go see Taylor Swift if I could get the like. I want to stay young, at least in my mind, of what is out there. What is somebody doing? What are they saying? What are the shows that people are watching? The athletes, the younger, like all of that stuff. And it's doing your homework. And I just want to make sure, you know, I do it in a way that you laugh with me, not at me. And that's my big concern. That's my big fear is, damn, he's still doing that? Like,
no,
you don't,
no.
Well, no, that. But I know, but that's, unfortunately, that's the approach I have. It's I'm still trying to prove myself after all these years. Every single day. I know,
but if you say that, I'm screwed.
No, but I have no other approach to that. I have no other approach. I can't do it any other way. And it's, as I said, going back, you don't enjoy it because you're always going straight ahead. There's nothing wrong with pulling over the side of the road and going, all right. And then getting back in the, you know, the HOV lane or whatever. But that's the only way I know how to do it. So 4 more years. And then I'll bow out Christmas Eve in 4 more years.
So on that illustrious resume, the occasionally accurate annuals?
We were trying.
Why the book?
Every football book is serious. And it's about gladiators. And it's about, you know, all this stuff, macho. And Joel Cohen co-wrote the book. And he writes for The Simpsons. And he called me up and he said, hey, would you like to be in a Simpsons episode? And I said, sure. I said, I don't want to play myself. He goes, no, you'll just be a generic announcer. I said, that's playing myself. And you're going to do some rock skipping. It's a rock skipping competition with Homer Simpson. And you're going to do play by play. And I go, I'm all in. Mm-hmm. And he goes, okay, hey, can you explain to me why Mark Sanchez gets criticized for the butt fumble when Vince Wilfork blew up the tackle that bounced into Mark? And I go, and so we started talking. And then he said, you know, I got one other thing. And then he would bring something up. And then all of a sudden I would say stuff back to it. So we were basically exchanging ideas. And then I think after 20 minutes, he goes, do you want to write a book? And I go, sure. Now, I didn't know what he was talking about. I just said, sure, write a book. Yeah, I don't know. And then he goes, I'm going to write all this stuff down. I'm going to come back at you. And then we just would talk on the phone. And then it was all tongue in cheek, fun stuff, goofy stuff, some serious stuff, some stuff we made up. And I just thought, you know what? Have a little levity with this. Have a little fun with this. Poke a little fun at it. And he was wonderful to just talk to. And then Andy Richter from Conan, he had a question. He wanted to write something. Like all of these people that he knew were like, hey, can I tell why, you know, how I became a Vikings fan? And I used to sleep naked with the windows open to get used to the cold. And then I'd be like, sure. Can we talk about Nipplegate? And I said, we can talk about whatever you want.
Yes.
I'm going to talk about Nipplegate. And I go, sure. We're talking Nipplegate here.
Yes. I'm going to rename this book, The Random Shit You Want to Talk About with Dan Patrick.
That might have been a better title than the occasionally accurate annals. I just love having you trying to say animals.
Okay, wait. We're going to let you go. But before we do that, E, do you want anything before we let Dan get back to his life?
No, I love you and I hope you're well. And how is your health? Are you good?
I'm going into New York once a month. Get wired up there for a little bit. But a whole lot better than I was. Because I went down a dark hole there for quite some time. And, you know, I never knew depression. Never, like, when somebody says, oh, I suffer from depression. I'm like, what? How do you suffer from depression? Then all of a sudden you get depression and you're going, holy shit. So whenever anybody brings it up now, man, I want to know. I want you to talk. Because it's, I almost quit the business. I physically couldn't climb the steps to get into the studio. And I'm like, man, I'm in bad shape, but everything's good. Better.
Good.
Got a granddaughter and little Josephine. So life is good.
How old's Josephine?
She is going to be 8 months.
Cute.
Oh my God. It's not fair how cute she is.
My dad said, if I knew how great being a grandparent was, I would have never been a parent. It's a whole different thing when you're on the other side of that.
It is. Man, you can love them and then you just hand them off.
Hit them over. Yep. That's how I feel with Matt.
That's what Carissa does with my kid. Yeah.
But I'm proud of you two, the women you are. Okay.
Thank you.
You're going to make me cry.
That's not possible.
Thank you.
I am proud of you, and we've navigated some waters there. That's certainly. But you know what? I'm glad whatever role I play, I'm very happy to be a sounding board or just a friend. And just a friend is not fair to say. I'm proud to be a friend.
No, thank you, Dan.
God,
I mean, so much.
What is
coming
happening?
From you. Yes. We love you so
love
much.
Love you a lot. I'm so grateful for you.
Calm Down with Aaron and Carissa is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
I'm Stephanie J. Block.
And I'm Mary Lee Fairbanks.
And we host Stages Podcast.
Binge close to 100 episodes. Hear the inside stories from backstage and behind the scenes as we go beyond the resume and into the heart of creativity and what it really takes to be in the business of show business.
Don't miss our chats with this season's Tony nominees. If you love theater and entertainment, you are going to love Stages Podcast.
Subscribe to Stages Podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts and visit us at stagespodcast.net.